Good morning and welcome to BTG's audio conference relative to the results of the fourth quarter 2015. Here with us today we have Mr. Márcio Trigueiro, CEO, and Mr. Maurício Teixeira, CFO and IRO. We'd like to inform you that this presentation is being recorded and all participants are connected in a listen-only mode during the company's remarks. Later, we'll start a Q&A session for analysts when further instructions will be provided. Should anyone need assistance during the call, please request the help from an operator by pressing star zero. We'd like to inform you that questions will only be made over the telephone. If you are connected by webcast, your question will be sent directly to the IR team by the email ri@btg.com.br. The audio and the slides of this audio conference are being simultaneously transmitted by the internet at www.btg.com.br/ri. In this URL, you will find the slide presentation to be downloaded. Before moving on, we'd like to state that possible forward-looking statements made during this call concerning the company's business outlook, operating and financial projections and targets are based on beliefs and assumptions by the company's management, as well as on information currently available. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they refer to future events and depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the future performance of BTG and lead to results that might differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Mr. Márcio Trigueiro, CEO, who will start the presentation. Please, Mr. Trigueiro, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in our results call. As we did last time, we'll make a brief presentation and to make room for questions and clarifications at the end. Starting on page four with the highlights of the fourth quarter of the year, the most important thing to underline is the cash generation of the company, which was again very robust, reaching over 1 billion reais, which is a record for BTG, one of the highest levels of cash generation ever seen in the civil construction industry in Brazil. And it corroborates our successful strategy of monetizing assets and speeding up cash generation. With that, we managed to reduce the company's total leveraging, including the costs to be incurred, by 500 million in the fourth quarter alone and by 2.5 billion in the year for the expanded leveraging because we consider the SFH, corporate debt, and costs to be incurred in projects. In the quarter, we had a very good sales performance at 550 million and a total of 2.5 billion in the year 2015. Cash sales were a main highlight, totaling over 400 million in 2015, almost doubling when compared to 2014. In terms of cancellation, something we've been talking about in the last call, how we see cancellation, so we expect our performance in the resale of cancellations was even better than historically. In the fourth quarter, we resold 47% of our cancellations, the best performance in the year, and we continue to reduce aggressively the company's G&A. We reduced it by 33% in nominal terms when compared to the previous year, and in the year, the reduction sat at 29%. As part of our annual auditing process, we did an accounting review and conducted adjustments at 1.4 billion reais, with 630 million the impact of NMB and only 137 million with a possible cash impact to be seen throughout time relative to contingencies. Moving on to page five, we highlight the cash operational cash generation. We repeated the performance of the first half, which was quite strong. And for the second year running, BTG is generating cash. Last year, we sped up that pace, generating over four times what we did in 2014. On page six, we see the NAV situation of the company. there was, of course, an impact on NAV from the adjustments we conducted. We'll break those down in a moment, but we still have an NAV of 3.6 billion reais, way above the company's market cap, which sits at around 2 billion, and with considerable room to serve the company's debts, suppliers, taxes, and costs to be incurred. Looking at the asset management slide number 7, we see a breakdown of our receivables. We had slightly lower receivables. There was a bank strike then, but nothing really major, no major differences from what we had been presenting so far. And we continue monetizing our assets and inventory. In the total, we received in the year 4.4 billion reais, an expressive amount, thus reducing accounts receivable by 3.5 billion. Moving on to page 9, there's a breakdown of our sales performance. We'll be talking about this in a moment, but the gross sales was set at 550 million. We continue to conduct cancellations as expeditedly as possible. Cancellations are a reality. We need to face that, and we need to recycle that portfolio. We have been maintaining an expressive level of cancellation, which leads to a low sales, net sales, but our gross sales reach a good level, 550 million, similar to the third quarter. There is some seasonality effect. For example, when we have sales campaign, we did it in the beginning of the year, not so in the second half, so there is some fluctuation throughout the year in that respect. Throughout the full year, we made 2.5 billion in sales, and net sales reached, as I said, 550 million reais. On page 10, we see a very interesting performance in terms of cash sales, over 400 million, which is twice as much as what we saw in 2014. And on page 11, in terms of the speed of sales, we have a very consistent speed of sales, as I mentioned before, in the second and the fourth quarter, it's a little lower than the first and third by 19%. I'm talking about gross sales. And the net sales is lower because we are trying to clean, if you will, our cancellation portfolio. Our main focus in terms of commercial is on our sales team, which accounts for 60% of all sales. That's very good, because it's something we can control very closely, and we have flexibility in terms of management as well. Looking on page 12 now, in terms of cancellations and resales, as I said, we experienced the best performance in the year in the fourth quarter, with 40% of cancellations were resold within the same quarter. And we have a very good performance when we look in the longer run as well. In a year, we had 80% of the cancellations were already resold. In terms of pricing for the resale of cancellations, we sat at 16% below the approved level, 4% above the cancellation amount, which is pretty much in line with what we do with our inventory, regardless of the fact that we're talking about cancellations or not. Once again, our cancellations are final. In our case, in any event, we do not see a cancellation of the cancellation, which is understandable. People who are buying a canceled unit, they come to us with an approved credit process, and it's much easier to conclude the business. On page 13, we have an evolution of the analysis we did last quarter. Instead of looking only at cancellations of one quarter, we looked at the year as a whole in terms of cancellations. This is a very interesting analysis. We canceled in 2015 1.9 billion reais. That implied a cash outflow of 112 million reais. Within the same year, we resold 1.2 billion, 75% of the cancellation of the year. And a company saw an inflow of 550 million reais. So cancellations turned out to be very positive in terms of cash generation for the company, unlike what people might think. Cancellations do generate cash, so we'll continue to do that as long as we have cancellations in our portfolio with a view to recycling our portfolio. In terms of inventory, we have a breakdown on page 14. a little above half of the company inventory is concluded, 51%, and 51% is residential, as you know. Similar numbers to what we had before. On page 15, there's a breakdown of our inventory, and the VSO, both commercial and residential. The trend continues when we look at the quarterly VSO per region. We have a VSO residential only in São Paulo and Rio of 22%, and outside of São Paulo and Rio, it's even better at 25%. So the residential VSO is something close to 23-24%. And the commercial, as I mentioned, is more challenging in terms of sales. They amount to a smaller percentage of our inventory. On page 16, we had an interesting performance in terms of asset sale. We sold around 90 million in the first half and 270 million in the second half of the year. In the second half, we sold the Jardim da Perdizes plot land, and we continue to assess opportunities to sell assets which are not fundamental for the company's recovery. We also signed a memorandum of understanding with the Votorantim Bank and the BAPV for the sale of another project. And this was done in January. It's an ongoing process. We are still conducting the due diligence process. So this should be done and over with by the second quarter. That's our expectations. On page 17, we have a breakdown of our land bank. And here it's worth mentioning another transaction we made last year, which was an adaptation of our land bank in the city of Salvador. We have a partner in Salvador. We had a DSV of around 7 billion reais in potential figures, which was quite expensive for the company in terms of maintenance, taxes, security, and so on. And it also did not correspond to a feasible market reality in the short to mid-run. So we renegotiated that, and we brought that cost down significantly. And we still have a TSV of 1 billion reais, which for Salvador and for the size of the company is much more interesting, much more adequate. It's a successful project, so we look at it with more optimistic eyes. And this is also, as I said, a breakdown of our land bank. It's important to notice that over 70% of our land bank is located in the southeastern region of the country, Rio and São Paulo. Our presence in the state of Minas is not that relevant. And we also have within the company, putting together the 1 billion in Salvador, 8.7 billion reais in terms of potential launch PSV for the company going forward. With that, the part of assets is covered. I'll give the floor over to Mauricio Teixeira, who will be talking about liabilities, maturities, and the accounting adjustments we conducted in the fourth quarter. Good morning, everyone. And talk about liability management. On page 19, we see the evolution and the drop of the company's net debt from 2012. You can see that in the year 2015, we reduced the net debt in 2.5 billion reais in nominal terms. Considering there was interest accrual and new funding, we monetized 4.4 billion, as Marcio mentioned, in assets. When we include new interest, we managed to reduce net debt by 2.5 billion. So we continue to deleverage the company. Costs to be incurred will be more strongly reduced. And then SFH, then at the end, the corporate debt. That's the order that we follow to deleverage the company. On the next page, we can see that besides reducing leverage, we are reducing costs and the size of the company with the view to achieving a more efficient, a leaner company. We reduced the company's G&A. When you compare the fourth quarter of 2014 and 2015, that number was reduced by 32%. Our G&A now we've set a level of 59 million, and for 2016 we will continue to try and reduce that level. The amount of our workforce was significantly reduced. We have concluded most of our projects. we finished 2015 with fewer projects, and we'll deliver more projects in 2016, which will bring that number further down on page. The next page, in the fourth quarter, we had 330 projects. At the end of 2015, we closed with 44. For 2016, we plan on delivering another 20, closing the year at 24, without considering the Votorantim deal. So the number of SPEs with ongoing works and costs to be incurred would be significantly reduced by the end of 2016. The cost to be incurred of the company is 679. We can reduce that number even more when we transfer the SPEs for the Votorantim Bank. On slide 23, you can see the accounting adjustments which were relevant, $1.4 billion. In the price, in the release, there are more details, but it's important to re-emphasize that the adjustment was carried out. So half of the adjustment came from or is relative to cancellations and a contract review of swap in the Salvador market. We had money to receive, investments we made, so the write-off resulted in $665 million in impact in the PL. In the two lines below, we see $199 million of plot review and also the impairment allocated in the land, which is a review for the lack of predictability in terms of launches. We worked on a feasibility work, considering the market and other factors, and that led to a lower recoverability in those areas. All those effects lead to a difference of $29 million when you add together the second and the third line. Besides, we have a provision for accounts receivable for Prosoluto. Those are sales where we have an amount where the client is paying installments and there is no collateral for that or didn't use to. That adds to $61 million. And default in transfers, which is also a provision for transfers which are not happening. In the end, will result in cancellations, future cancellations. Besides, we have $47 million of net impact from the reevaluation of plants, of REP, and this also appears in our participation, our interest at $47 million, legal deposits, $33 million, and legal contingencies, when we have projects coming to an end, we see that there are some penalties, delays, and that was reviewed to $137 million. So the impact is $1.4 billion. The impact on the NAV, $600 million, and the number showed by Marcia just now reflect that impact, and the impact on the cash was zero right now. But in the future, that impact might amount to $137 million. So this is the reality based on the companies, on the country's economic reality and the economic scenario we currently face. On the next page, we have our income statements. We had a loss in the fourth quarter of 1.9 billion reais and 2.8 in 2015, excluding non-recurring events. Then a loss of $500 million in the fourth quarter and 1.4 in 2015. We are now ready for questions and answers. We try to be brief so we could have time to clarify doubts or answer questions you may have about the company's results. Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, press star 1 on your touch phone. If at any moment your question was answered, press star 2 to remove yourself from the queue. Questions will be answered as they arrive. We kindly ask you to take your phone off the hook as you pose the question. This way, an optimum sound quality will be achieved. Please stand by while we collect the questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Tomás Aladji from Trinity Invest.
Good morning.
I have a few questions. The first one being the following. If we look at the deal with Votorantim and cost to be incurred, which will be transferred to them, you have now $1 billion in cost to be incurred, and the proposal talks about $600 million. So you have very, very little amount of works being conducted by PDG. You will be managing constructions which will be part of that agreement. You will be getting a fee for that management. But my question is, what's the G&A for PDG in your mind for the year? How do you start the year in terms of G&A, considering that you will be working as a selling company more than anything? You'll be selling inventory. So how do you see that nominal figure for the rest of the year?
Good morning.
As you said, we will continue to manage the work. So we will be compensated for that. And so it's not necessarily the fact that you'll be working as a selling company alone. Of course, you'll be managing the works, the construction, and so on. Having said that, I cannot give you specific numbers, but the trend of the company's G&A is of a downtrend quarter on quarter. Of course, as we restructure the company internally, we incur on labor costs. So the speed of the G&A reduction is higher than the numbers are showing. When you look at headcount, you have a better view of what's happening with the company's G&A. But the future, no doubt, has some reductions in its horizon in terms of G&A to an even lower level than we have recorded in the fourth quarter. If you could go a little deeper, in the fourth quarter, when we annualize that number, we are talking about $440 million. Could you give us some indication in terms of a nominal drop, 10, 15, 20 going forward? You have that in mind? You have a target in terms of drop? Yes, I do have that in mind, but I cannot give you a guidance. No, not a guidance, just an indication. Below 200 million, that order of magnitude would be correct from that down. Okay, good, thank you. My second question is, what's the balance that you have in the Pro Soluto? Just hang on a second. Mauricio will tackle. We have very few new Pro Solutos. We have a very low number, so I can deduct that you do not have any meaningful outstanding number. Am I correct? No, that's correct. And the last question, how do you see the year going forward in terms of sales, cancellations? If you could give us some color, we are closing the first quarter by now. How do you see the year going forward? We know that this first quarter is weak, seasonally speaking, but what's your perception for the remainder of the year? That level of discount at 15%, will that change? What kind of dynamics can we expect in that front? Our view is the following. Of course, there is an important macro deterioration in the economic scenario. And when you look at other industries, we do not see an immediate improvement anywhere. But it's not tragic. And on the other hand, we believe that today the decision to buy a house, to buy a home, of course takes price into account. But a super discount won't be the way to go. Some of our projects in São Paulo, for example, I can talk about two projects where we had a good sales evolution in 2015, and we increased the prices for 2016, and we continue selling, because as inventory runs out, we have a good project, and of course we can raise that price. So I do not see an increase in the discount level. I don't see a need to bring prices down when compared to 2015. I do not believe that will be the major trigger of sales for the company. And our sales volume is okay, reasonable. I don't say it is an excellent quarter, but when you talk about this quarter's results later at the end of the quarter, of course, we'll see it more clearly. And our idea is to have concentrate our promotional events or campaigns in the second half. So quarter on quarter, we'll see a difference from last year, but not major in terms of deterioration of the market. It's going to be an okay quarter, as I said. And cancellations will remain at the level we've been seeing lately. We hope this year to have a cancellation volume significantly lower than last year's because we have a lower inventory, lower receivables, lower launches. So, hence, we expect a lower level of cancellations. One final comment or question, please. What is the stage you are now in terms of that renegotiation with the banks? Is there any deadline? We see that Proxy closed a deal with Bradesco and Banco do Brasil. Where are you now in that front? Our expectation is the same as it's always been. The view of our aides is that this is a 6 to 12 month process. In the case of PDG, it tends to remain in the top side of the maturity level. We are bigger than Rossi, and that's what we expect. In terms of advancement, we've seen good progress. I can tell you the following. We had a successful renegotiation with the smaller creditors of the company, which was quite expressive. We have been working in this restructuring since August, and there was no traumatic, if you will, event within the company. So we're doing well in that front. In terms of renegotiation with the bigger creditors, today we have a very constructive relationship with all creditors, and we are working hand-in-hand with them in terms of defining a restructuring plan, and I believe that would be successful. I would not be able to tell you when this will come to a conclusion, second quarter, second half, but as I said, between 6 and 12 months. So in the next months, we should see something happening in that respect. Thank you. Thank you. See you. Have a nice day. Our next question comes from Mr. Luis Mauricio de Assis from Bradesco. Good morning. Just a follow-up. If you could talk a little bit about the pipeline for the upcoming sales, how far are you with the REP? Maybe we could be expecting lower prices for sales going forward. If you could talk a little bit about that, the next moves in terms of monetization of assets, land banks, if there's anything in the pipeline. Of course, on top of the sales of inventory. And a second point would be, that's basically what I had in mind. I'd like to understand a little better the sales of assets. Luis, good morning. Concerning the REP, what I can tell you is that we are in advanced negotiations, and our expectations are to solve that in the short run, probably in the second quarter. In terms of amounts, I cannot give you figures, prices. I'd rather comment on a concrete fact, so I'm not going to touch on numbers. In terms of the sales of assets, we have some negotiations going in terms of land bank, plot. We are concentrating our efforts on those. And apart from that, we do not have any meaningful project that would be worth mentioning now. Land bank is basically what we have been working on in terms of asset sales. Any order of magnitude you could give us? Not really. I'd rather not put a number on that. The sales of assets is relatively easy. The difficult part is to sell it at a good price. So I'm not going to mention numbers because we are not in the business of burning, if you will, our assets. Okay, thank you. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Mr. Thomas Alagi from 3R Invest. Hi, that's me again. My question would be around the deal with Votorantim. You did mention some numbers, net debt and so on, incoming cash. What kind of impact will we see in shareholders' equity, on NAV, or does it already include potential impact on NAV? So there might be a lower impact on equity and more NAV. Could you give us some color in terms of a breakdown in terms of accounting impact on both NAV and shareholders' equity? Well, Tomas, this is Mauricio. We are now in the final stages, so we do have an estimate of the impact. But as we are conducting some final adjustments and also some valuations, we would rather wait for the deal to be concluded. We are still working on the memorandum of understanding, so I think it would be more cautious for us to wait for the deal to be concluded so we could, of course, have a clear idea of the impact on our numbers. As I said, we are still conducting adjustments in terms of prices, so I'd rather not give an estimate right now. As I said, we are almost closing the negotiations with Votorantim. We have numbers for you soon. So for a deal of $1 billion, could you give us some kind of impact based on the $1 billion? No, sorry, I can't. Okay, thank you. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1 on your touch phone. The Q&A session is now over. I'd like to give the floor over to Mr. Marcio Trigueiro for his final remarks. You have the floor, sir. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Thank you for your attention. And we remain available with our IR team to other clarifications you may need. Have a nice day. Thank you. Thank you. PDG fourth quarter results audio conference is now over. You may now disconnect your line. Have a nice day.